Are you ready? Sister, woo! Embrace the number one, the illest collaboration.
Let's get it started.
Cursing and no calling people midget, okay?
No, they're literally midgets. Like, the name of the monster is midget.
Okay. Alright, let's start.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hey everyone, it's Noel.
I'm Dame Dr. Foxy Brown.
This is episode 23 of the Always Rational K-Pop Podcast. And someone here is busy killing midgets.
I'm not killing midgets. That's not what I said at all. Don't put words in my mouth.
No, she's playing a game with zombies. And, yeah. So, if she randomly cusses or whatever, forgive her.
I do that anyway. Mm-hmm. But just that it's normally in sentences.
Okay. Well, it's been a busy week. Well, not that busy, but it's been a busy week for the people in the Ben Hammer offices. In Korea, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone's been doing their job because they've added a few more songs to their ban list, and this time it's on the grounds of being harmful media to the youth. So, the songs that I have here are, let's see, DBSK's Before You Go, Kim Yoon-jung's Please, Palm Still Eating Well, and DJ Doc's Tonight.
And of course, all of these songs, no one's currently promoting any of them. So, retroactive banning again.
Yeah, what else is new? Okay. Alright, and yeah. Actually, we're starting with the news now. But, okay. Not that organized today. So, anyway, people in New York, you guys are lucky because you'll get a free K-pop concert. In October?
Yeah. 9. October 9th. At, God, I forgot the name of the island. Right, Randall's Island,
yeah. And this is courtesy of KBS World. Now, the lineup is pretty impressive, although it's not been finalized yet. What I have here is DBSK, 4-Minute, Wonder Girls, 2PM, Beast, Shinies, 7, Sister 19. Sister 19? I mean, why not the rest of the girls?
Because the extra two people are expensive, I guess.
Okay, and drumroll please, it's My Goddess, Iori.
I'm so upset because this is a little over a week after my vacation ends, and I was already planning on a trip, so unless it's a miracle, I won't have the money to go.
Oh, this is so sad, you know, because I want you to go. Because, you know, it's the goddess. You should be there.
I want me to go, too.
Seriously, you should, you know, I hope you encounter some sort of a miracle or you can move your vacation, like, a week late. I don't know.
I don't think so, because everyone else has already been assigned and stuff, so.
Really? Yeah. Like, 2 months in advance?
Yep, so unless people are willing to trade, it's not going to happen. I don't think anyone wants to trade at this point. Oh, my God. Just, like, I want to go so badly. And if if all those performances are confirmed, it will feel like I'm doing myself a disservice by not going. But, you know, plane tickets aren't cheap, and I don't know anybody who lives in New York, so I would have to get a hotel and figure out transportation and stuff like that.
That's really sad. But if there is a miracle, someone be nice to her and donate tickets or something, or donate people to switch places with her at work. I don't know.
I mean, the concert is on a Sunday, so I guess I would just either miss work or come absurdly late.
Or pretend to be sick. Something like that. I mean, that's not such a good idea, but yeah, that's the best that I could come up with. So anyway, people in New York, look out for the concert, and you guys are lucky it's free, because most of the time, concerts like these cost an arm and a leg. Very expensive.
Well, it might be free because of the same reason why JYJ's concerts ended up being free. Because when you consider having to pay for performers' visas for all of those people, they may not be as willing to do so. So the easier thing is to not charge any money.
Or maybe it's free because they're promoting Hallyu. You never know.
And in every other country, they promote Hallyu and they charge hundreds of dollars, arms and legs, that sort of thing.
I don't know. We'll find out. And we will find out who is going to be on the concert, because they haven't really finalized the list yet. Who else is going to be on the concert, I mean. All right. Now, moving on to the new releases, comebacks, and debuts. First is Bang Young Guk featuring the guy from Beast called Usopp.
Yang Usopp.
Yeah, no, I was just kidding. But he has a very good voice, honestly. And, of course, it's been banned. The MV, I mean, has been banned
and
for violence.
So far,
KBS.
It's only from KBS. It just means that the music video is unfit for air. His company, TS Entertainment, says that they're going to cut some scenes and resubmit. And apparently they'd already cut it to a degree, so they were surprised that, of course every company's always surprised, that it got banned.
I mean, it's no surprise they got banned because, you know, they point guns at each other.
There's a lot of shooting, and there is an intimate moment or two. Like, that was really weird, because they were having, like, a knockdown, drag-out fight, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of it, they start making out, she jumps on top of him.
I don't know. That's what you call makeup sex or something, or on the way to makeup sex.
Like, they hadn't even finished the fight proper. I was disappointed.
Or angry sex? I don't know. We have no idea. Maybe that's how they make up. And they fight worse than that. But anyway, the song is called I Remember, and as I was listening to the song while getting ready for work earlier, I couldn't help but be reminded of Linkin Park, and I'm not a big Linkin Park fan, so yeah, I don't know why.
I guess it sounds like it's the combination of the rock guitar riffs with rap that usually brings that to mind. Not necessarily. I don't think it's new metal, but
the kind of music that I don't listen to. That's it. That's exactly it. I don't know what it's called. Do you like Linkin Park?
I used to when I was in high school.
Ah, never got into them. So
you're
yeah.
probably too old.
Probably. What the hell?
Oh, you want me to say you're definitely too old to get into Linkin Park? Definitely too old to get into Linkin Park. That's why you don't like them. Just fine, you know, they don't make the world's greatest music. Some of it is relatable, a lot of it is screaming.
Yep.
On Chester's part, Mike is surprisingly a good singer, which I didn't expect. But
Why?
Because he's the rapper.
Sometimes rappers can sing.
But there were songs. Why am I talking about Linkin Park? This is a K-pop podcast.
All right, off track again.
You started.
Keep doing that. Okay, now, Dalshabet's Bling Bling is out, the MV, and the single's out, but I do not see the punk influence. All I read in the articles were punk waves, like punk hair waves, perm, I don't know. do not like the song. So yeah, that's it.
Maybe
I don't have to say about that.
Maybe the article was translated poorly.
Maybe so. So I don't know. Punk waves. Do not get it. I will watch a performance to see what they mean. Next comeback is Sister So Cool. The MV is out, and of course I love the MV to bits. And I love the fact that they kept most of the teaser footage.
Yeah, the teaser actually seemed to be cut from the music video MV itself.
Yep. And of course you get the three guys, DJ Doc. Yes. No, they're pervy selves there. And they kept the scene where the girls jump over the hurdle, so happy, happy, happy. Song's quite good.
Of course,
it's a fast song.
It was, opinions were quite split on the song, I think. A lot of people...
Really?
Yeah, from what I was seeing, a lot of people were angry about Brave Brothers. The usual thing, he makes generic songs. Some people were even saying he ruined AS Red's comeback, and I was just like, really? I kind of actually liked their song.
I liked it. After I watched the MV, I did like it. But initial listen,
and
I didn't like it much.
The beat he used for AS Red's song sounded very similar to Sistar's How Dare You. So,
yeah. But last week we were talking about My Boy.
Yes.
And yeah, it's the same song. Same arrangement, same everything. They just gave a few parts to who's that girl, whoever she is.
So you and Dasom, they both got some parts.
Yeah, no difference there. Still like the song, but I like Sister 19's version better. I don't know why.
It flows a little bit better.
Next comeback that I have here is Mighty Mal. And they're back with a song called Raising Queen.
They released another single.
This song is interesting because it's produced by Shin Sogang Tiger, and it says here that this is the first time he's produced for a non-idol group.
It's not like Mighty Mouth are idols, though.
The song is still idolish to me.
Well, they've always been fairly pop, so it's not as though their songs are going to be all that different from what he would be creating for 4 Minute or Beast or anything like that.
Beast, yeah. But I haven't seen the MV because I think it's not out yet. I'm not even sure if it's out, but I've heard the song. And I'm actually looking forward to the MV because, hey, the title is Raising Queens, so I think we're supposed to see Raising Queens in the actual MV.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see sexy girls. Okay.
I wouldn't be so convinced of that if I was you. It wouldn't be the first time there was false advertising in K-pop.
We'll see how it goes. I hope it's not too sexy because you know what will happen, right? Banned.
The effect of banning music videos anymore, it's very minimal considering that most people now watch music videos on the internet. So we could care less if you ban it for TV. When you look at the Western music industry especially, we have so few channels that actually show music videos. We don't really have that experience of watching music videos on TV. Like, unless you happen to wake up really early in the morning for work, you're not going to see much things on, whether you have VH1 or MTV2.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're lucky and you're Canadian and you have Much Music or the box of one of those other things.
With this release, I want the full MV. What the producers do now is that even before they release the MV, they say that they changed something, much like what Sister did to their choreography.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes. Oh, big comeback is Coyote, back with 3 members, back with Becca. The group is back after 5 long years. This is a real comeback. They will be back with a full album in a few days, but they have released their first track. And I've listened to it once. Lovely song. So, yeah. Look out for the full album soon. In a few days. I don't have the exact date here. It may be released tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. We'll see about that. So, Becca... Well, he was the one who had the brain tumor back then, right?
Right.
And he had surgery?
Mm-hmm.
glad to see him back. Glad to see him recover. I'm glad to see him singing again. So, this is great. Alrighty. Now, it's official. Girls' Generation will be back with their third full album in September. So, obviously, they will make a killing in the charts and expect other artists to change their release schedules so as not to butt heads with Girls' Generation. Who else is coming back in September? I have here, rumor anyway, Brown Eyed Girls.
Allegedly, if they don't push back the album again.
Mm-hmm. And also, it seems that they have extended their contract with Mega Network for
another 4 years.
Mm. Are you okay with that? Are you happy with that?
I mean, it works for Mega Network. I don't know how well it works for them. But as long as they continue making music, they continue getting promoted in the way they are. And, you know, you work at a company long enough, starts to feel like a family, as long as they don't, you know, intentionally attempt to screw you over. So,
were they with Mega Networks ever since, or did they have a change of management?
I think they have always been with Mega Network.
I see. It's probably why they chose to extend their contract. Yeah, it's like a family to them now. Okay, now, this piece of news here about the only debut that I have here, anyway, is a bit strange. I mean, what is this fuckery? A girl group called Swing Girls will be debuting with a D-cup concept. Hell, Swing.
I don't know. It's chicks with D-cups. Their faces aren't all that, so I guess I hope they can sing.
I hope. Well, it says here they will be debuting on the 19th, and admittedly, they're debuting with a mature and sexy concept.
Of course they are.
And mind you, just to let you know now, okay, Korea's concept of D-cup is different from our concept of
Is it
D-cup.
Like Japan, where the sizes are plus one?
Smaller.
So,
no, it's
no,
smaller.
I mean, the D-cup for America is, I mean, Japan's D-cup is America's C, I think.
Yeah, something like that, yes. So, okay.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Whatever. Well, anyway, I've seen the photos. One girl doesn't look like she has D-cup, I mean, or a C even, so whatever. It's false advertising.
Maybe there was some stuffing, okay? It's normal.
We'll find out if there's some stuffing.
They got some magical bras.
Well, at the rate that things are going now, I'm sure we'll get the band hammer on these girls yet again, eventually. You know, maybe after they promote. Or if they're lucky, however you see it. Unlucky or lucky, it's a matter of perspective. They might get banned when they actually promote. Excuse me. Okay. Now we're done with that. Not much new releases this week. So, yeah. Next piece of news is about Vara the Klutz. Oh my goodness. Sistar's Vara accidentally trips on lighting equipment and gets minor burns on her leg while recording for a music band. Thankfully, she didn't injure her face. I mean, she didn't burn her face. Okay.
You keep in mind, though, this is the same girl that made international news when she slipped and fell on stage and busted her face, so.
Oh my god. Yeah. I mean, someone's jinxed her or something, or she's just a klutz, or she's just unlucky. Well, the injury isn't life-threatening, but, you know, for an idol, if you scar something, that's career-threatening.
Yeah, and wasn't Sistar known for their legs? Was that another group I'm thinking of?
That's probably Girls' Generation or Nine Muses.
It's everyone. Everybody's known for their legs.
So her management is actually worried about the burn leaving a scar. Okay. Uh-huh. It's like the worst things could happen, okay? And you're worried about a scar, but hey, she's an idol. What do you expect?
What, that I would actually have any concern for her well-being? Of course not.
Yeah. So, now, what do I have here next? Well, this is actually not a surprise, but do you remember Takaoka Sosuke? The guy who said things about Hallyu and Fuji TV. Well, according to the news, he has apologized for his words about Palyu at FujiTV in his blog. Okay, so that's good to know. I don't know if he was pressured to do that.
I mean, if he wanted to work again, probably.
Yeah, but it's good that he's apologized just to, you know, put everyone and set everything at rest.
I mean, too much drama, at this point, the damage is already done. You know, the people that think that came away from it thinking he's a racist, they're going to continue to think he's a racist. And the people that sympathize with him, whether they're also xenophobic or whether they saw what you could possibly consider as good in what he had to say, they're going to continue to believe, you know, they're going to continue to side with him. So his apology doesn't really do anything other than take pressure off of him.
Mm-hmm. And probably shut some people up and just, you know, just put matters at rest and that's it. And of course, you're right, he really wants to work. You know, he's an actor, he has to work. And, you know, if you piss off FujiTV, good luck. Because how many networks does Japan have? Like, big networks. There's Fuji, there's TBS. What else? What do they show the big dramas on?
TV Tokyo.
Well, three or four. I'm not
gonna NHK. They do some of the biggest dramas every year, though.
Those Taiga dramas? Yep.
Those are pretty much a big deal.
There are only a few networks that can work in Japan, so yeah. He did a pretty smart thing there. Okay.
He took over a week
now it's
to
time.
Apologize, though.
He had to think things over, I suppose. He had to think about the best way to just apologize, like too much of a jerk, or maybe without sounding like it's forced or something. I don't know, because I haven't really read different accounts of the translation, just one, so it might be mistranslated again. So yeah, okay, I think we're done with the news. Pretty much done with the news. Not unless you have anything that I missed for the week?
I don't think I do.
Nothing much happened. A lot of the news has been non-news, so yeah, do not care about that. Let's take a very quick break, okay? And then we will come back with our free talk.
Tonight, oh good, so good. 매일 밤, 내 말이
And we're back for a free talk. And this week's free talk came from one of Kim Ji-jung's interviews, wherein he said that he's saddened by the devaluation of idols. So, really, what is wrong with being an idol? And I guess this poses the question of how idols are perceived by their peers in the entertainment industry and by the public in general. Okay, now, when you say idol, what do you usually think?
Nowadays, it's kind of like, I don't know, a little kid that's somewhat attractive, but, like, probably overhyped talent.
Uh-huh.
And it's typically a person that has to grow before, yeah, I mean, in terms of not just age, but in terms of skills as well, because a lot of time they kind of debut really raw, especially now that there are so many smaller companies.
Yeah.
And I think that may have contributed to what he's calling the devaluation.
Yeah.
Because once you flood the market with something, you're going to run out of people that are top talent and that are poised and all that. And you're going to end up with the kind of kids that they don't sing any lines for 2 years.
That's really sad, right? I mean, you're a bit nicer than me in your definition of, you know, a current idol. A bit nicer. Because for me, idols are most of the time pretty, but of course, their looks may or may not be fake. Who is to dispute that, okay? I can't dispute if it's real or fake, if they've been altered surgically or not. Okay, and you say overhyped talent. I say most of the time untalented.
Wow.
That's just being mean, okay?
They tend to have a talent. It's just not necessarily for singing.
Well, that's because in general nowadays, idols aren't just singers, but they're overall general entertainers.
I blame Super Junior.
Oh yeah, we'll be talking about them later. But for me, the devaluation of idols is when you flood the market with idols and you can't really tell them apart. Like, you know, they hype something up. They hype their singing abilities, dancing abilities, or what have you. Horseback riding abilities. What's that? Wine Hall Venus? Like, it's just bullshit sometimes. But really, how do people see them? Like, for example, the respected singers in Korea, when they look at these idols, what do they think?
They probably feel really old because all of a sudden it's all about these kids, and a lot of them are 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
And the more respected singers tend to be early 30s, probably due to having been around the market for a while. But at the same time, there's some of them, they can probably look at this group of idols and think, hey, at one point I was here too.
Yeah, but the market was different back then, right?
The formula for idol group hasn't changed much. Every group still has the pretty but useless person. But what happens is now, instead of only having one, you probably end up with three or four of them, depending on the size of the group. So
imagine this, a group of 9 girls and you end up with 4 useless girls. Like,
wow. You just have to call them out like that? Or are we talking about 9 muses? Which group are we talking about?
No one. I just randomly thought of a number and just said 5. No, seriously. Random. 9.
Okay. Sonya Shide hater.
I am not a Sonya Shide hater, and you know that. But, okay. 9 muses, I don't even know their names. All I know is that
two members of the group left.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to be news.
Oh, yeah, see? Forgot about them, and now we remember. I think their singing abilities are questionable, but they're supposed to be called model idols or something like that?
Yeah, everyone seems to try and find a unique term to attach in front of idol. Someone was
D-cups.
Doojun, for example, is a boyfriend doll. There's model idols. There are quite a few of, like, they just tag English words in front of idol, and they go with that as their concept. And part of the problem with such an oversaturated market is you're trying very hard to stand out.
That's true.
So you end up with a lot of these silly concepts. They do get abandoned, thankfully, but
thank goodness, you know, because I'm just thinking of the D cup idols now. Maybe if they lose their stuffing in their bras or something, they would be called D cup idols. Or
you are such a non-believer. Like, why can't you believe that these ladies are actually well endowed? Why do you have to like think it has to be stuffing? You know, that's so cynical.
Seriously, because I saw one girl and she doesn't have D cups.
Of course, she doesn't have D cups. Her measurement is different.
Not even C, okay? The photo that I saw, okay, the girl on the left-hand side, like extreme left, that's her.
It's only one photo, though. Maybe like her breast photographed poorly
compared to the other girls. Maybe, yeah. Just being realistic here, okay. I mean, a lot of people would be expecting D as in D, but hello.
Well, it's their fault. They're not Korean. They don't know that the sizes are different.
It's gonna be a surprise for most international fans. Yeah. Anyway, you're right. The market is really saturated now, and everyone has to stand out.
When you look at, we talked about Chocolat last week, and they're emphasizing the fact that three of the girls are half white.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, half white, half Korean. And expect, I guess, crazier gimmicks to come from Korea, because every month, you know, two or three groups come out. Sometimes it's just too hard to keep track of these idols. For me, if I was a respected singer, I'd be wondering, where do these kids come from? Like, seriously.
They're made on a farm.
Factory.
I like farm better. It's a much more peaceful image.
Cookie cutter. And I'd be threatened by these idols because, you know, how the market is ruled by the idols in terms of sales. So mm-hmm. I guess I wouldn't be too welcoming of them. I guess I'd be looking at them with a very critical eye.
Yeah, but it's something you can't stop. You, as a older singer, like, there's really nothing you can do about it.
That is so true, though. That is so true.
All you could do is continue to make your music and hope that the people will want to listen to it.
Yeah, but sometimes it's a downhill battle. And a lot of artists have actually voiced their opinions about this, right? But the really smart thing to do is just accept it. Can't fight the system. Not unless Korea changes and their musical taste just happens to change as well. There's no stopping it. Actually, what Jae Jung said here, I just saw his article again now. He said that any person who made his or her debut as an idol always has the idol label on them wherever they go. Some are embarrassed by it and try to hide their idol status while others strive to evolve from an idol to an artist. And that's the challenge that most idols have.
Moon Hee-jun kind of pretty famously faced that problem because he came away from Hot and he wanted to sing rock music.
Yeah.
And the established rock artists were basically like, you know, what do you think you're doing?
Are you naming names? But yeah, of course, they wouldn't accept.
No, I'm not naming names. I wasn't around at the time.
They really wouldn't accept him because, hey, he used to be in a boy band. And, like, what are you doing now?
He was dancing to Candy. I mean, like, you cannot come back from that.
It's very hard to get over your old image as an idol.
And part of what you have to keep in mind is a lot of these, like I said, they start out as kids. So at some point, you're going to grow up, your musical tastes are going to change. And it's not fair for people to continue to basically pigeonhole you into the person you were when you first started music.
Yeah, so true. Because, of course, you grow as a person. And Rachel also mentioned here that he doesn't think that it's right to keep idols tied to a stereotype based on the name or based on the group name or the appearance or image of their group. And he has a very good point because, you know, people change, they mature, they encounter different people, their musical tastes evolve, and maybe they find their place in the entertainment world. Maybe they want to be full-time singers. Like when they disband, they really want to pursue singing, or maybe they become actors or TV hosts. So it's really not fair to just pigeonhole these idols into one image, like the image that we want and keep of them in our minds. Yeah. But the problem is most people can't really get over the fact that such and such person used to do this, used to be in this group. It's a very tough challenge, like what Dee said earlier about Moon Hee-jun.
For example, earlier this week, 2AM's Jung Jin-woon released a digital single where he's performing rock music.
Mm.
And 2AM hasn't, as a group, really embarrassed themselves as much as some other groups have. But it is kind of hard to think of, you know, this guy who is the youngest member of 2AM, so he's basically a little kid. To look at this guy singing rock music and think, you know, who the hell does he think he's fooling here? But he's a very talented singer, and apparently rock was his first love and is his passion. So, you know, it's wrong to prejudge him.
Yeah.
And his music based on the fact that he's an idol group and he came up through an idol company. And one thing I really do like about what they're doing with these guys and girls is as they get older, they're starting to let them get more musical freedom, especially if they're the more talented members of the group.
Mm-hmm.
G-Dragon in particular is getting a lot of acclaim for his musicality and his quote-unquote genius. So,
quote unquote. Okay, but he said that he never claimed that he was a genius. Okay,
people. No, of course. Like, if you always have to say that, you can't claim the genius moniker because that's just going to make people hate you. So, and you see, you know, the more popular members of the group, they get to entertain solo projects, mm-hmm. like we're seeing with Hyuna, like we're seeing, particularly. Zico from Block B.
Yes.
He performed, I posted it up on the site, his performances at underground rapper Swings' concert, It's My Year 2, where when he goes up on the stage, the first thing he says is, yeah, I'm an idol, and that's what you know me as, but I'm going to put that idol bullshit behind me for a second, and I'm just going to rap. And no, then he proceeds to rap a song called Cox, which I think is pretty funny. But even though, you know, Block B mimics the idol image, they debuted under a hip-hop company mm-hmm. and with a hip-hop-minded president. And of course, from the very beginning, Zico, Kyung, and one or two of the other members have been involved in the creation of their songs and the writing of their song. So that's kind of taking a different spin on idols, trying to set them out as musicians from the very beginning. Yeah, even though they make, you know, silly try love songs or breakup songs or songs about believing in yourself, they prove, and he has proved on his mixtape, that he's able to talk about more important things, societal issues and stuff like that. And that's really commendable in someone of his age. I think he's only 19 or something like that. Mm. So I think there will be room, as long as the companies decide to take a similar route, where you're not just teaching them how to sing, but you're teaching them, you know, what music is all about, and the fact that music is a form of expression, and that they too could be a part of the song building for their albums,
mm-hmm.
and even for other artists as well. Because when you look at it, the artists that make the most money, that just do music, they make money because they compose for other people, because they write for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at One Way's Chance, he has a hand in the Super Junior albums. He has a hand in Bang Young Gook's song with Yo Sub. He helped to compose that as well. So he should be making money pretty much on top of money.
That's right.
And that's really the way to go.
That's exactly true. But I wonder how many of these idols are given the chance to hone their talent in writing and producing their songs. Not a lot, right?
I think in order for your company to decide, hey, you know, we should take this person along this route, they have to show interest in it themselves. And if they never show any interest in the basically the work side of it, because producers and songwriters, they're not really glorified. You know, you don't see them very often. You don't hear about them, what they're doing. And, you know, they don't get the cameras all up in their face. So people may not necessarily, like, who you came into it, most of the kids, they're into it to become famous. for all of their friends, you know, look up and say, hey, I knew a singer. So if you go, like, when you look at what happened to Blackbeat, right now they're choreographers, they're vocal trainers.
Blackbeat is SM, right? SM Entertainment?
They had one album and then SM disbanded them. And, you know, what they're doing right now is not a glorious thing at all. Most people don't know what happened to them. A lot of people probably don't even know, you know, they were a boy band to begin with. And sometimes you go ahead and you take the kind of the non-beautiful route. But you have to show interest in this to begin with.
Mm-hmm. So true. I think Yuna has shown interest as well, because I think she had a hand in her solo album too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think she may have written a rap verse or two.
But hey, that's showing interest, right?
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, it's a good start. I mean,
again, she's only 19.
19, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people have been giving Yuna flack for bullshit reasons.
I like that someone pointed out that in, I think, under the Mnet performance on YouTube, they basically pointed out that she's fully dressed, doesn't do any sexy dances or anything, and the performance is still sexy. So,
hey, she's sexy, period. She has stage presence. She owns a stage.
So, you know, regardless of everyone coming out on her for dancing like a whore or whatever, like, she doesn't really have to do anything, and you'll still get the same impression.
Yeah, same reaction. It's just people being stupid and people being ruled by first impressions and their perception of her, which is, I think, is really unfair for her. I hope people's perception of Yuna will change, because, hey, I think out of all the girl group members that I'm not going to say that debuted in the past 3 years, but I'm just going to say out of the current crop of new idol group members, Yuna has taken the most flack.
I think it's kind of, she's not necessarily intentionally put herself out there, but the company has put her out as the face of the group, and a lot of people feel that she's been pushed on them, and that the other members aren't being emphasized, and that's why they're not particularly popular in Korea. But, you know, that may be true, as well as it may not be true.
But I really hope that, you know, things will look up for her, because it's just unfair for her. I mean, she's very talented. She may not be the best singer, but she definitely has talent, and she definitely has the X factor to make it in the pop industry, like, seriously. And hey, you may be surprised, because give her 5 years, and if in 1 4-minute disbands, you will see that everyone else has disappeared except her.
I wouldn't go that far, because they do have members who can sing. But I think that people have compared it to Lee Hyori, of course, which you can't get away from. But the difference that was given between her and Hyori is that Hyori is, you know, old enough, which I find really bizarre to even say, because we've already established that as much as we may think she is a child, she's a grown-up, both by our standards and by Korea's standards. So whether or not you may feel uncomfortable because she's younger than you, or because you're her age and you wouldn't do that sort of thing, that doesn't mean that she's ineligible to dance a certain way or to perform a certain type of song just because you don't like it. And something interesting was said, and I think we've gone slightly off topic, but something interesting was said by Miss A earlier this week when they were asked about girl groups having to change up their choreography and review their clothes and things like that. And they basically said, you know, we're artists, and the way we dress, the way we dance is a part of our performance. That's and right. If you can't consider it as art and you're just looking at it as titillating or erotic, then you need to change the way you look at it.
I agree with that. Because, you know, they do have different concepts, and of course, along with concepts come the costumes and choreography. And of course, they have to be in character, right?
A lot of people, when you look at it, have worked pretty hard on coming up with all of the concepts, and when you just dismiss what the person's done and order them to, you know, do it again, it is kind of insulting.
Of course, they worked hard for that. And this is very interesting because out of all the music industries that I watch and keep track of, K-pop is the only industry that has different concepts for each song. Okay, for each song that they will promote. It's like you have multiple personalities. Like, seriously.
Yeah, you throw in a grown and sexy song, and then you throw in a song like Heart to Heart, and everyone's just like, what?
Yeah.
And when you do something like, especially when there are comebacks and people promote two songs at once, it's very strange.
1 minute, they're pumping the floor, and then switch, next performance. They're being cute, right? Heart to Heart. Thinking of 4 minute again. Mirror Mirror and 4 minute when they were promoting. It's just a bit unsettling. It's like, if you're not used to it, you'd be thinking, what the hell is this? Okay? 1 minute, they're trying to be sexy, and before you know it, they changed outfits, and voila. They're cute girls. It keeps things very fresh, really. And it shows a lot of preparation behind the scenes. I mean, it's really difficult to just promote one song, right?
Definitely. You don't have the opportunity to just stick to one song because people get tired of songs fairly quickly nowadays. And you're always trying to stay relevant compared to whoever mm-hmm. else is promoting at the time.
Especially now, it's very, very hard because it's not like 5 years ago wherein, you know, you get one debut every 6 months or something like that. But now you get a couple of debuts. So yeah, you really have to stay relevant. And for you to be on top of the game, you definitely have to be very different. And you definitely, you know, have to offer more than just the usual idol fare, which is like singing, dancing, and acting cute for the camera. I guess you need to have very unique talents. And it's really interesting lately, like just lately, with the crop of new idols that come up, along with the usual idols where, you know, most of them have questionable singing abilities, come idols that can really, really sing, much like N-Train
mm-hmm.
and HIT. They're very good. They are really talented when it comes to singing, which is, you know, what singers usually do. But, you know, you just have to separate the wheat from the chaff.
And most of the time, you know, with time, that will happen for you. The people that aren't able to hack it, they're going to disappear, as terrible as that sounds. You know, as much of a fan base as they may have, unless it's inordinately huge compared to their talents, they're going to disappear.
Eventually, yeah. Because there's a lot of competition there. You know, as a consumer,
it's fantastic for us.
You would get to choose, right? You have the choice. You can make a choice whether you're going to stick with a crappy group or you're going to support a group that has talent, or maybe talent in your eyes anyway. But it's good for us because you get a lot of new music and we get a lot of entertainment. Now, for these idols to survive though, they need something different and they need to acquire new skills just to ensure that they will stay in the industry for a very long time. And, you know, just to make sure that they have something to keep them going after their group disbands. Because let's face it, the groups will eventually disband. I mean, Korea isn't like Japan, wherein idols stay idols for a very long time, like, you know, SMAP.
Yeah. And I like that he referenced the Backstreet Boys as,
yeah.
as though they're still as relevant as they used to be. But it was nice of him.
Mm-hmm. I like the Backstreet Boys. Okay, NKOTBSB right now. They do have a song together. Oh my goodness.
They had a whole concert tour that I missed by one day.
That is so sad. I so want to see them.
I mean, not that I would have been able to get tickets, but the day after I got to LA was... The day before I got to LA was their show.
Damn.
I was walking past the theater and I saw it on the... Oh, God, what's the word for it? Oh, on the sign.
The board?
No. It's like what they used to have at movie theaters where they had... above the door, it's kind of going around the building. The marquee. All right, they had them up on the marquee.
Damn, you missed it.
I don't care about New Kids on the Block because I'm too young, but Backstreet Boys. That would have made me happy. Happier, perhaps, than this free show in New York that I'm not going to get to go to.
That you're just saying that now. You never know. But how big are they really? Like,
I think they're not gonna move the world, you know, with their concert. But there are enough girls, well, people that were teenage girls at the height of their popularity, that are gonna go to see them out of nostalgia, or that are gonna go and, you know, drag their daughters or their younger sisters or cousins or whatever along. I mean, and it's you know, it's a learning experience. It's a chance to show them what music used to be like in the 90s. And, hey, they're not going to be, like, but he is kind of right. They are sort of idols forever because they're unable to get away from the image of being, you know, boy band stars. Because as far as I can remember, two members of Backstreet Boys had solo albums, and it didn't really go anywhere.
No, then because they were more popular as a group.
The real answer is because none of them were Justin Timberlake, because he's the only guy from that era that managed to have a successful music career. And of course, he started making music with black people. But he got Timbaland to make beats for him and all that. Timbaland is known as a hit maker, so he produced songs for Missy Elliott, for Leo, and so on and so forth, and for himself, as of course. And Justin has branched out into acting, into sketch comedy, even to some extent. He has appeared on SNL's digital shorts with The Lonely Island quite a few times. Popular, of course, for Dick in a Box. And he, as an actor, was kind of a joke until he did...
What's that movie with Mila Kunis? The new one?
I don't know.
They have it's a new movie.
Oh, it's... Fuck.
Yeah.
I know the name of the movie because Friends with Benefits is her last movie,
That's it.
He was in The Social Network, and he was quite good. Like, he made me want to punch him in the face. Which I believe that's what he was going for.
And that's good. You know, if that was his aim, then he succeeded. Good actor. But Justin Timberlake was able to make it in the business for a very long time because he started producing his own music. And that's it. So, my word of advice for these idols is to start getting into the area of music production.
You know, if you're enrolled in college studying music theory or whatever, you should probably actually go to class and get your degree. Because even though you've been performing music for so long, there's probably a lot on the theory side of things that you have to learn.
True. What Chae-Jun said is really right. I agree with him. Like, you know, they could never get away from their images forever. So for me, it's either you fight it or you go with it and work it to your advantage, which I think JYJ will do. They will work this thing to their advantage. They don't really have much of a choice, right? Because they made themselves persona non grata in K-pop anyway, in Korea.
Yeah.
So they need to milk this for all it's worth. They have to stay relevant. And they've done a very good job, actually, because they started writing their own music. Like, their last release, songs all written and produced by them. So, that's the way to go.
And I like that the indie way they're doing things, even though they have lots and lots of money, it's allowed them to do collaborations with, you know, lesser known artists. As for example, mm-hmm. I had no idea who Flo Sick was.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that album released, Asiatics debuted, and it's just their music is phenomenal. So, you know, whatever I think of them as artists, I'll kind of always be thankful for introducing Flowstick to kind of everyone, to kind of mainstream K-pop fandom.
Yeah, he's a very good rapper. And their album is out. Oh, yeah, they have an MV too, Slipping Away. And they just released it behind the scenes for that MV. And also, you know, they have a lot of money, but I don't know if it's just an image thing, but they still manage to stay humble, for me anyway. That will get you a long way. Okay, don't let get fame into your head. Most definitely. Don't be an asshole just because you're famous and you think that you have a lot of money. Because, you know, karma will bite you in the ass if you're an asshole. Okay, now, idols, take note of that, alright? Be nice and learn to write your own music. Or maybe, like what he said, if you're enrolled in college studying music or something, go to class.
It sounds really simple, but...
Yeah, it sounds really simple, but it's very hard to do, honestly. Especially if the current crop of idols are controlled by their music companies. You know, they don't really have much freedom. They don't really get to think for themselves. Like, sometimes, you know, things are forced onto you, and you don't really know what to do because you're so used to being fed. Like, being fed information, being fed and being told what you're supposed to do. So if you're out there by yourself, it's going to be hard for you to make decisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it. We're done for free talk. You done?
Yeah.
Love, oh babe, my girl. 그대 나의 전부 눈부시게 아름다운 나의 신부 신이 주신 선물 행복한가요 그대 까만 눈에서 눈물이 흐르죠 까만 머리파 뿌리 될 때까지도 나의 사랑 나의 그대 사랑할 것을 나 맹세할게 맹세할게 그대를 사랑한다는 말 평생 매일 해주고 싶어 Would you marry me 널 사랑하고 아끼면 살아가고 싶어 그때가 잠이 들 때마다 내 발에 세워주고 싶어 Would you marry me 일어 나의 마음 허락해줄래 평생 곁에 있을게 I do 널 사랑하는 걸 I do 뭔가 비가 와도 아껴주면서 살아가고 싶어 Would you marry me 나의 모든 날을 함께 해줄래 빛나는 반지를 받아줘 오늘과 같은 마음으로 지금의 약속 기억할게 Would you marry me
Okay. Now, we have a new segment in the show that we're not sure what to call yet, so we're just going to call it the K-pop Crystal Ball, as opposed to Future Schmuture. But anyway, we're no fortune tellers, but hey, we can attempt to make wild guesses on how the future of the current crop of idols will be like in a few years, if and when their group disbands, okay? And for this episode, we will attempt to see what the future holds for the members of Super Junior?
Sure.
Alright, Super Junior, very interesting. 13 members, right? Originally 13 members?
Yes. No, originally 12.
Oh, plus one. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Kyuhyun. And they have additional Chinese members. There's Henry and there's Zoomin. So that makes them 15. Makes them 15, so... 14,
technically, because...
Someone left.
Hangang left.
Are we going to include Hangang then? Yes. Mm-hmm.
His future is kind of laid out already in that, you know, he's going to be singing and probably doesn't very, very acting in China. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe he'll get big enough to be able to come back and return to Korea.
You think?
I mean, all things are possible.
Maybe, yeah. You never know. So, now, why did we choose Super Junior, by the way?
I forgot. You said Super Junior. I think it's because we haven't prepared for the segment. I think that's why.
Yeah. No, because I think it's because of their fifth album. And of course, with Ituk and Heechul going to the army soon, as in next year, maybe this year, late this year, we never know. But the latest is next year. This will effectively be their
last album.
Last, in a sense, what? Last forever or last for the meantime?
Temporarily, it's the last album.
There you go. So, okay, out of all the Super Junior members, who are the singers? There's KRY, right?
Yes. It's Kyuhyun,
Jiwook,
Yesung, and Jiwook.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the singers that stand out. So, one would presume that at least one of them is going to continue to last in the entertainment industry. Personally, I would put my money on Kyuhyun. He seems to have the most popularity of the three.
Yep.
And he's the youngest member. So that, you know, allows for longevity.
Yeah.
And then I guess from there you move to the more average singers who you kind of get left behind in the shuffle. People like Sungmin.
Sungmin?
Yeah.
Okay.
I point him out because I remember reading about him recently, and the person was talking about the fact that Super Junior is going to, whether we like it or not, really, they're going to disband, and they were talking about, you know, where that's going to leave certain members. And they were saying that someone like Sungmin, who, you know, compared to the whole group, he's an average singer, which, you know, if there were a smaller group, would probably be okay. And he's a good dancer, but not a great dancer. But sometimes, you know, that's really all you need to be. You just have to find your niche outside of that.
Yep.
And you might end up being the one with longevity rather than, you know, some of your other group mates.
Mm-hmm.
But with a big group like that, he may end up solo after they break up, and people probably come up to him when he's on shows and be like, wait, you were in Super Junior? When did that happen?
But you know, if we use statistics here, usually groups are made up of five members, right? And out of the five members, when they disband, one or two become really popular, and most of the time it's just one person, right? So if we're gonna count the original 12 plus 1 plus 2,
there's three people.
Okay, so let's assume it's 15, right? Out of the 15 people, if we're gonna use statistics, yeah, three people. Or if we're gonna be nice, four or five people will be popular, like really popular if and when the disband, anyway. So, as a singer, it's probably Kyuhyun, you're right. As someone who will surprise us, it's probably Sungmin. The actor would probably be Siwon.
Siwon, yep.
Yeah. And Heechul will probably be the comedian or the variety show regular. whatever you want to call him.
The general magician guy.
Court jester? I don't know. And Itek will be the MC, right?
Well, he and obviously Eunhyuk as well.
Yeah.
They've been on that radio show, Super Junior Kiss the Radio, for, I want to say, 4 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been quite a while. I forgot who had the show before them.
It's been ages.
But, they've been there for quite some time. So they've already kind of established this rapport as radio hosts.
What about Donghae then?
I mean, he has his fans for sure, but...
Do you think he's just going to fade into oblivion? Or maybe he's still going to be around?
I feel like a lot of these guys are going to end up, you know, becoming family men or whatever. They've made a lot of money. But Donghae is... He's good friends with Chance, so...
Mm-hmm. He might be getting into the music writing side of the business.
Right. He might end up making most of his money from production and songwriting.
Mm-hmm. True. What about, Shindong? He's probably going to get married. We're probably going to get married.
Maybe.
Yeah. Comedian, yeah. I
haven't heard much about that lately.
Oh my goodness, it's quiet in the marriage front for Shindong right now. And I know we're forgetting a couple of people. Oh, the Chinese members. Henry. Henry is talented. Very, very talented. He goes to Berkeley, right?
I think that because they're so young, Henry in particular, I don't remember how old he is, but I know he's younger than Kyuhyun, they probably will end up being able to either continue as Super Junior M, or they will end up kind of reforming into a different group altogether.
Under SM?
Yeah, and continuing their career from there.
Yeah, true. And who else are we forgetting about in this segment? There's a couple of members that's so hard to keep track. There's Siwon, there's Donghae.
Kibum and Kangin.
Oh, Kibum! Might as well forget him. He says he's gonna be an actor, okay?
Oh my god, what is he acting?
Well, he has a future project. Remember we reported that, but yeah, we have yet to see that. He says he wants to be an actor, and maybe he's gonna go back to the States and just get married or something. Kang In. What about Kang In?
I think the greatest mystery, because it's gonna all come down to whether or not he's learned his lesson. And, you know, what that lesson actually is kind of up for interpretation. Is he going to learn that it's a bad idea to drink and go out in public by yourself as a celebrity?
Yeah.
Is he going to learn to control his temper? Is he going to learn perhaps to not hit on women that belong to other guys? You know, and he seems like, you know, a genuinely like well-meaning kind of guy. So maybe he kind of comes back from this
a new person, a new man, right? Hopefully.
Usually that's what the army is supposed to do for you.
But I guess it doesn't work for everyone. We'll see how it goes for him when he comes back from the army. But I think, for me anyway, I think he'd want to stay out of the public eye. I have a feeling that, you know, he's gonna lie low. And yeah, that's for Kangin. And who else are we forgetting? 13 members. It's so hard to think.
I feel like this, everyone.
Yeah. But the standouts are Kyuhyun as the singer, Sungmin as probably the general all-around entertainer. Could sing, dance, and appear in shows. The actor is going to be Siwon. And Donghae is probably going to go into the music production and writing side. And yeah. Oh, Hangang, you're right, is going to be very popular in China, as he is. And I guess that's it for Super Junior. I mean, if we forgot someone, let us know. Because I'm sure we forgot someone.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you're not doing a running count as you're talking.
No, it is. It's very hard because there's a lot of them to keep track of. I hope the next group that we tackle is a lot smaller. Well, yeah, it's going to be definitely smaller because there are only a few more groups there that are bigger than Super Junior. There's only one. What's that 21 member group called?
APs.
There you go. And no, we're not gonna attempt to do APs because I don't even know them that well.
Any of their names.
No, so hard to get to know 21 guys, okay? Very hard. So yeah, just let us know if we forgot someone, and you know, let us know if you agree with our opinions, because remember, these are just opinions and you may think otherwise, right?
Right. Our opinions are by no means representative of the Always Rational K-Pop podcast, any associated podcast, mm-hmm. or any other colleagues in the podcasting industry. Our opinions are our own. They're not meant to defame or insult or anything like that.
And as far as I know, we didn't defame or insult anyone yet. As far as I know, anyway, okay? My memory serves me right. And my memory is quite bad, you know? Alrighty. So now we're done with that new segment, and we may call it differently next week. We don't know. So it's the K-pop crystal ball for now.
She just changes the name every week.
Yeah, you never know. If we may change it every week, it's going to be interesting. We're kind of like an idol group. We change our concept every week.
More like we forget what the name was last week.
Y'all. All right. Now, it's time for the last part of the show, and it's the artist spotlight. And this week, we are focusing on a Fluxus group, Loveholic. Now, Loveholic, as I've said, is a group from Fluxus, and the original lineup used to be three people. There's Kang In Min, Lee Jae Hawk, and Jisun, right? The singer. Mm-hmm. Now, Jisun left, I think, in 2008? Or, was it 2008? Or 2009? I'm not even sure anymore. So, that left the group without a singer.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened is that the group continued under the name Loveholics, with an S. And they used different vocalists to sing with
them.
They
did kind of like an M-Flow Loves kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Their last release was back in... Actually, as Loveholics, it was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. 2010, I think. Or 2009. Oh, 2009 was the last Loveholic album with Jisun. And 2010 was the Loveholics with an S. The only release that I know of. Anyway, the group has 5 albums under their name. And they started in the industry in 2003. I would consider them an indie group. Would you? I would.
Yeah, in terms of their sound, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Set, they're rather well-known because of their, of course, their Fluxus association. And as well, Jisun did at least one song with Epic High.
I know that song, but I forgot the title.
I think it's one.
Oh, yep, with the MV with that
Suicide
girl. Yeah. Whatever her name is. The girl in My Name is Kim Sansoon. Jeez, oh, I forgot her name, and I used to like her a lot. Ugh, man. Yeah, you're right. It's the age.
As long as you admit it.
Okay, so anyway, their first release is called The Mermaid Comes Back Home, and they have a song there called Windflower with Alex, because they have a few songs with Alex anyway, a Classic Eye project. It's kind of like Alex is their frequent collaborator.
You didn't even mention that Alex is the show singer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, but it's up on the site. Okay. Oh, sorry, not The Mermaid Comes Back Home. That's different. That's, I think, for Jisun. Sorry about that. Anyway, the first CD that they released was back in 2003, and it's called Florist. And I think if I remember it right, you like this album.
Or
you like the song, I think, from this album, if I'm not mistaken. If my memory serves me right. And my memory doesn't always serve me right.
It's entirely possible.
And then they came up with album number 2, it's called Invisible Things. Album number 3 called Nice Dream. And there's a fourth album. It's a remake album called Rewind. I haven't listened to that. I should listen to that. And album number 5 is my favorite album. It's dramatic and cinematic.
I remember you mentioning that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a collection of their songs that they perform for dramas and movies. So it's called Dramatic and Cinematic. And out of all the releases, my favorite song from Loveholic is One Love. I think I said it before. It's from the drama Spring Wolf, one of those tragic dramas. Well, this drama is the least tragic out of the four seasons. Like, you know, Winter Sonata, Autumn in My Heart, and that other drama that I forget. Winter Sonata? Did I say
that?
Winter
Sonata, yes.
Winter Sonata, Autumn in My Heart, Summer Scent. There you go, with Song Hye-kyo. And Spring Waltz. Spring Waltz had Daniel Hemi in it. And Han Yu-ju. And this is the only drama, I think, where no one dies.
Hooray, I guess.
Yeah, hooray. Well, but it's still tragic because the main guy is a pianist. And then, you know, he gets a hand injury, so he can't play the piano forever anymore. So, it's still tragic. But, yeah. The song is called One Love, and it's a relaxing song, and that's my ultimate favorite from Loveholic. Now, for Loveholics, that album, there's a release called In the Air. And I was actually wrong earlier. It was released back in 2009. It's still under Fluxus. And they have yet to release another album, but they haven't really disbanded yet. I haven't heard that they've disbanded. And I'm not sure if they're looking for a permanent replacement for Jisun, because they've been really quiet. I haven't heard any news from the group, so I would love to see them come back. And I think we lost our streak with artists coming back. I guess I'm going to give them until the end of the year to come back. And, you know, we can safely say that we sort of have mind control over these artists and, you know, tell them to come back consciously. I don't know. We're hoping. Well, anyway, Loveholics with an S. Loveholics' release was back in 2009. And no follow-up happened since then. Not even one song, like one OST song or one digital release, no. I don't think they feature in any other artists, right? Oh, but Jisun has. She's with... what's Tableau's company?
The Matt one that's with now?
No, no.
Oh,
Woolim.
The,
Woolim. Yeah. Yeah, I think she's with Woolim now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's recently featured in a song for... is it Infinite?
Yeah.
Who's under Woolim? Is it Infinite?
Infinite is under Woolim.
Yeah, I think she's featured in one of their songs, or maybe featured in the MV, if I'm not mistaken. This was a few months ago. Did we discuss that? I think we did. Because she had a solo release or something. If I'm not mistaken, she's had a solo release. Which is still lovely, by the way. She has a very, very ethereal voice.
So that is Loveholics.
Yep. So that was Loveholic. Yeah, listen to their songs. They're all good, okay? Relaxing. Not sleep-inducing, alright? Although I use most of their songs to put me to sleep, it doesn't mean boring. Okay.
That's the worst endorsement I've ever heard.
No, it's relaxing. Very good songs. Nothing stressful about their songs. But you know how I am, right? I even say the same thing about Alex, and you know how much I love Alex.
Sure.
So, it's a good thing, okay? It's not boring. If you want to relax and, you know, listen to something else than the usual idol fare, listen to Loveholics or anyone from the Fluxus label. You can listen to them. They're very good. And that wraps up episode 23 of the Always Rational K-Pop Podcast.
And as always, I guess I'll do the contact us wrap up. The Always Rational K-Pop Podcast at gmail.com. You know, send us your comments, get it read on the show. Give us your ideas. What do you want us to discuss? What groups you want to hear us talk about? Maybe you've got a suggestion for, God, what's the name of that show? Artist Spotlight.
I know.
We've got a suggestion for Free Talk as well. You know, let us know these things. You could also put it up on the website, which is arkpop.com. Comment under this episode. You can put it up on Facebook, on facebook.com/abunchofnumbers. You can reply to us on Twitter, although it's probably better to go through Facebook or through the website or through email, but Twitter is ARKpop podcast. Twitter.com/ARKpop podcast. As always, we look forward to hearing from you. Always keep in mind that, hey, if you don't have any friends you can discuss K-pop with, we're here to be those people.
Yeah. And we're very friendly. You know,
she's
don't
very
be scared.
Friendly. I'm not very friendly.
Okay, at least you admit that. But hey, you know, I love
you
her.
You didn't know that.
I know that. I love her. It doesn't really matter. And her birthday's coming up soon. So this yeah, is. Be nice to us. Send us an email. Greet her happy birthday. Stuff like that.
Kind of creepy, though.
Yeah, well, you get greetings. That's still good, right? At least you know people listen to us. So yeah, as always, this is episode 23 of All International K-pop Podcast. And next week we'll be back with a better planned episode.
Yes.
Yep. And that's it. So you guys enjoy your weekend, your week, your day, wherever you are. Goodbye and good night. Or good morning. Doesn't really matter, but yeah, have fun. Bye.
So